And here we go. Welcome back to the Believe in the Garden State podcast. Super excited to be here with you guys, people we know, people we don't know, people we'd like to get to know. As always, all are welcome here at the Believe in the Garden State podcast. And we got a great episode for you guys today. I mean, it's kind of in the name, Believe in the Garden State podcast, New Jersey, all things New Jersey. Where else would you rather be, and what else would you rather be talking about? I can't think of anything else, so glad you guys are here. You know, unless I'm talking to myself, and that's very possible. So either way, super excited to be here, super excited to be talking all things New Jersey, and we got a great guest for you today. So we have Pat McCarthy, one of the up-and-coming broadcast superstars. This guy is an absolute stud. He has done games with the Philadelphia Phillies, the Princeton Tigers, St. Joe's University basketball, and a bunch of other Philadelphia area sports. This guy is a superstar. Remember the name, because you're going to see him very soon doing really big time things on a consistent basis. Had a chance to meet him when we did the Princeton-Lehigh game on the radio together in the middle of September or towards the end of September. And just an awesome guy who has really helped me out and given me great advice. So super appreciative of that. And this guy's awesome. So I hope you enjoy it. We preview the Princeton-Harvard game that took place on Friday night up in Cambridge. Battle for first place in the Ivy League. So...
This man is an up-and-coming superstar in the broadcast media world, one of the great voices of the Princeton Tigers, the Philadelphia Phillies, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who's set to get married this weekend, Pat McCarthy.
To left field, call going back to the wall, it's gone! And opposite fields, two-run game-tying home run for Bryce Harper.
Throws against Yossi Vasho over the middle, he's in space, he's off and moving.
Right-hander, ready from the belt, bases full, Brogdon kicks, 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, he got him!
He's the football, he's looking deep, he has Posse to midfield, and he's tackled at the 49-yard line.
Pat, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on the show. Super excited to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to chatting. And yeah, big week ahead. A lot of things right now, but you know, happy to take a break from everything and get a chance to talk a little football, baseball, whatever we got.
Absolutely, man. How's everything been going with the playoffs?
Things are great, right? You know, the Phils, you know, they knock off the Cards and then, you know, defeat the reigning world champs and head on out to San Diego in game one, take care of business. Zach Wheeler was fantastic. You get an absolute mammoth home run from Kyle Schwarber, and Bryce Harper continues to play the way that he's had. So the Phils are in good shape. 3 wins away from the playoff, from the World Series. So things are fun in Philadelphia, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, this week, Princeton-Harvard, battle for first place in the Ivy League. You've done Princeton-Harvard games for a long time. You know, how has this Princeton team compared to other Princeton teams you've seen over the years?
Yeah, this Princeton team is interesting because I feel like since I've started back in 2018, things kind of go the same way. They run the table against non-conference teams and they have a lot of success. And that's where, you know, Bob Cerace, the head coach of the Tigers kind of feels things out and he finds guys that he has. And he's used this time to find a stud running back in Ryan Butler, who has come out of Bergen Catholic and just taken the world on fire. Freshmen don't always get a ton of opportunities to play for Princeton just because there's such a difficult transition. You know, he's come in and he's become the number one running back for this team. And it's a group of running backs that already had a lot of success in Jadarius Carr and John Volker heading into this season. So the fact that Ryan Butler has come in and just taken over that running back room is what I think makes this team different, is because you have a three-headed monster now in the backfield And you compare that with Blake Stenstrom, who is, you know, in his first year as the starting quarterback. The number one difference is the fact that Princeton's going with a one quarterback system. We have not seen that recently. You know, when they had Chad Knopf and they had John Lovett, they kind of mixed things in and out. You know, last year they had Cole Smith. They would mix Stenstrom in. Blake has kind of taken over this offense as the number one quarterback. And it helps when you have Dylan Classy, Andre Yosivash, and Carson Bobo as three really good skill position players on the outside. So this is going to be a really good test for Princeton taking on Harvard this week. The games are always incredible. I mean, last year's Princeton-Harvard game was one for the ages. Both teams were, you know, a top 15 program at the time, and it went five overtimes before the Tigers finally won that one by 2 points. So I'm excited for it. It's up in Cambridge. It's a nationally televised game, and it's a good test for the Tigers that, again, undefeated right now, and a Harvard team that has won a lot of games recently and has just one loss against a really good Holy Cross team that's a top 25, top 10 team in the FCS.
Absolutely. And when you look at both these programs, I mean, what do you see, like, what similarities do you see between them? Because they've combined for almost every single Ivy League championship the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing, two really good head coaches. Obviously, Bob Surace has, you know, taken things over from this Tigers program since he took over and had those two-win seasons. So that's the number one thing, is that these two teams are really well coached. They're really disciplined teams. And we see that a lot in Ivy League football as a whole, is teams don't really get penalized very much, just because that is one of the things that they hone in on, that they really focus on. And Tim Murphy is arguably one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. And, you know, he's been doing this for a really long time. So that's where it really starts off, is these two coaches have these teams revved up and ready to go. And the other thing is, these teams score. So how are these defenses going to match up, and how are these defenses going to stop these offenses? And, you know, both teams are putting up, you know, around 35 points per game. I mean, it's pretty remarkable how good both these offenses are. And both teams are going to run the football a lot. They have really good running backs. Aiden Bourget from Delcy, you know, a South Jersey kid that I think a lot of people thought could potentially go to Princeton, has gone to Harvard, and he's just taken the world on fire. So you pair Bourget, you pair Butler, there's really good running back play. So these guys match up, but the upper echelon of the Ivy League always matches up. There's never easy games when you play, I mean, any of the Ivy League teams, but in particular with Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Penn, you know, all these teams, you know, Columbia, Brown, it doesn't matter that these guys always match up well. And this is going to be a really fun game. And it was a good choice by ESPN to pick this one up for sure.
It's going to be a cool environment in Cambridge. I'm actually going to be on the call as an analyst again, so I'm super excited.
Nice.
Part of my prep was had to talk to one of the experts of Princeton football. So glad you could come help me prepare with the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, when you talk about Aiden Bourget, you know, super awesome running back, arguably the best player in the Ivy League. What separates him, and how can Princeton stop him and slow him down?
Well, I think it's going to start really with the interior, and, you know, guys like Uche and Duque in the, you know, the front four, and, you know, Jester, you know, Matthew Jester and, you know, Cole Aubrey on the outside are really going to, you know, have to kind of contain things and allow guys like Liam Johnson, you know, the linebacker position, to kind of come in and clean things up. But, you know, he's such an interesting running back, right? Because he's 5'10", he's 210 pounds. He's got a lot of, you know, physicality to him, but at the same time, he's quick, he's shifty, and he's always played well against Princeton. And that's the thing, is that when you're going up against, you know, a team that you're familiar with, obviously, and, you know, Bourget is very familiar with this system, and he's very familiar with, you know, this Princeton program as a whole. So, you know, he didn't play a ton, you know, against the Tigers last year, and I just think it, you know, he was limited to just 24 yards last year. They did a really good job on just 10 carries to contain Bourget. And that's the number one thing that they're going to have to do again, is, you know, force Harvard to throw the football and keep the ball out of such a dynamic back hand.
Absolutely. I also think the secondary is going to be tested. I think these, I like these receivers for Harvard. I like Wimberly. I like the quarterback Dean. I think this is his second year as a starter. So I think he's starting to really like find his rhythm, and he's played well this year. And, you know, do you now Princeton hasn't really, is it fair to say they haven't been tested as much as Harvard? Because Harvard, you know, opening game against Merrimack overtime, they lose to a Holy Cross team tight. Is it fair to say that they're a little more battle-tested than Princeton?
Yeah, I think to an extent, for sure, just because, you know, the fact that they had to play, you know, a top 15 opponent and Holy Cross, and they had to go to overtime against Merrimack, like you said, and, you know, they had to go to Cornell, which is a really tough thing to do because it's a big travel game. You know, it's a little bit different in October compared to in November when you go up to Ithaca, but yeah, I mean, Harvard's had to play a lot of really tough games, and, you know, they're coming off back-to-back wins against Cornell and Harvard, Howard, in which they put up 35 and 41 points apiece in that game. And, you know, they hung with Holy Cross. That was a two-score game. It was a nine-point loss. And I think Harvard as a whole has played a little bit of a tougher schedule. And but now you're taking on another top 25 team in Princeton because the Tigers are back in the top 25. And it always takes a little bit of time for Ivy League teams to get into the top 25 just because the season starts 2 weeks later. And, you know, this is such a balanced offense for Princeton. And although Harvard as a whole has played a tough schedule, they have not seen Andre Yosivash, and they have not seen a wide receiver like him. Because, you know, as Bourget is probably the best running back, you know, in the Ivy League, Yosivash is, you know, far and wide the best wide receiver in the Ivy. And, you know, when you get him in space, it's just not even close. And you pair that with Dylan Classy, who had a huge game last week for the Tigers. So, you know, I think that there's weapons on the outside for Princeton that just set up this entire offense. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Stenstrom's able to get some work in and, you know, pick this Harvard defense apart.
I'm not, my knowledge of FCS football isn't as big as FBS, but we were saying that Princeton's defense is going to be tested against Harvard. We could say that the other way around. And honestly, this Princeton receiving corps could be one of the deepest receiving corps in the FCS. I'd be surprised if you could find me a better one.
Yeah, it's such an interesting team, right? Because, you know, these guys have been together for so long, and you've got Classy, who's more of your traditional slot style receiver. And then you've got Yosivash, who's your speed burner. So you've got two weapons on the outside. It's similar to the receiving corps that we saw when the team went undefeated and was a top five program, a few years ago when they had Lovett at quarterback and they had Steven Carlson and Jesper Horsted's on the outside, two guys that were built like tight ends. They're playing tight end in the NFL. So it's a little bit different. Classy and Yosivash are two guys that when they get into open space, nobody's going to catch them. So it's one of the reasons why I wish that eventually the Ivy League will allow their champions to go to the FCS playoffs, because I want to see how these guys match up against the rest of the FCS, because we don't really get a chance to see how they match up against like the Villanovas and the North Dakota States and these top FCS programs. And, you know, Princeton plays Monmouth, which is always a very good team, but maybe you get to see them against a Delaware, a team like that, where, you know, these are potentially Power Five guys that have decided not to go Power Five or to go to an FBS school and have gone to an FCS school. So I just think that these guys are built differently. I just think that they're a different type of receivers that I really don't know what teams would be able to defend them. I mean, that's how good these guys are. You know, you think about the fact that they've played probably two less games than most of the FCS, and they're averaging 270 yards of passing offense, between Yosivash, Classy, and Bobo. So in my opinion, yeah, it's probably the best duo in the FCS, not really having a great understanding of what's out there outside of that, but I don't see how there's anybody that can play with them.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think what also you mentioned, the other big NFL guys, I think Carson Bobo really makes this offense super versatile, just with his ability to be an excellent blocker and pass catcher. I mean, they can do so many different things with formations and different looks. Like they can show run in a heavy run look and then split him out wide and get him matched up on a linebacker or safety. They really have a lot at their disposal with him. And I like the other tight ends they play too. I mean, I think
they really maximize his ability. I think he's going to have a bright NFL future. I think he's going to play a few years, Bobo.
Yeah. Bobo's a really interesting guy, right? Because he only has 9 catches this year, but you just feel like he's always a threat in the middle because of his athletic ability. It's like you said, he's that style of tight end, kind of like how like a Dallas Goedert is for the Eagles, that you can line him up on the outside of the line, but then you can also split him out wide. You can get him into space. He's really fast. He's really athletic. You know, he's 6'5", 250. I mean, he's just a huge guy, but he's cut. You know, he's not this, you know, big bruising style tight end, but he's a terrific blocker. That's what makes Bobo such an interesting guy. And I'm with you. I think that if you look outside of just the numbers that are on paper, when you see Bobo, he's a guy that could definitely play at the next level. And, you know, coming out of Alabama at a high school, he was a guy that had Power 5 offers as a preferred walk-on at different schools like that. But he decided to go to Princeton and play every single day. And this coaching staff has just done a phenomenal job with him.
Yeah, he's one of a few guys who had on his Princeton roster who has Power 5 offers. They have a couple guys like that every year, I would say. And what was it? He's just personnel. Like, if you go nickel against Princeton, like, you better be ready to to have Carson Bobo, like, matched up on your nickel corner and be a big-time mismatch. So it's, like you said, he just creates so many problems for defenses. Pat, appreciate you coming on. Before I let you go, man, how excited are you for this weekend, man?
Yeah, I'm pumped. You know, from a personal standpoint, I'll start with there because there's a lot going on this weekend. From a personal standpoint, obviously, I'm excited. You know, my fiance and I have been together for 7 years, and Emily's done so much to get us prepared for this weekend. It's, you know, we've been engaged since December 27th of 2020. So it's been a long time coming for us. And, you know, she's worked tirelessly to get this weekend set. So from a personal standpoint, I'm so excited. You know, it's the day that you always think about, you know, growing up, your wedding day and stuff like that. So it's a special day. I'm excited for it. I can't wait for it. Just have family and friends all around and stuff like that. It's going to be a really special day. Weather looks great, which I'm pumped about. Looks like it's going to be like 70 in PA. So that's always a good sign. You can, you know, hang out, play some cornhole and stuff like that. So, I'm excited for this weekend from a personal standpoint. And then from a sports standpoint, obviously, it's a great time to be a Philly sports fan. The Phils will be home, you know, that weekend for the NLCS. The Eagles are going to be on a bye, but, you know, they're 6-0 and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I've kind of put sports on the back burner right now, which is, you know, for somebody whose sports has literally been their life since they were, you know, 3 or 4 years old, it's never been easier in a time when it's, there's a lot going on just because of how important this weekend is for me and for my family and for Emily as well. So yeah, it's really cool. I'm really excited for it. And I never would have thought that I would tell anybody that, you know, the NLCS or anything like that was kind of an afterthought for me, but right now it is, just because that's what I'm looking forward to. And, I'm looking forward to, you know, celebrating and, you know, getting my life going in this new chapter in life. I never thought that I'd really be ready for it, honestly, at this point. But hey, you know, you turn 27 and all of a sudden you think, okay, now it's time to actually start my life and get things going. So yeah, I'm stoked. Thank you.
Yeah, man, dude, congratulations. Super happy for you. Can't thank you enough for the awesome things, the awesome advice you've given me in my journey as I've gotten started in this as well, with sports media and broadcasting, things like that. So really appreciate you coming on the show, and can't thank you enough. Best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. And hey, go Tigers.
Swing a fly ball out to left field. Call going back to the wall. It's gone. And opposite fields. Two-run game-tying home run for Bryce Harper. Throws against Yossi Basho over the middle. He's in space. He's off and moving. The right-hander. Ready from the belt. Bases full. Brockett kicks. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Football. He's looking deep. He has Bossy to midfield, and he's tackled at the 49-yard line.